Isn't it lovely getting old? I'm enjoying it. Well, good morning, everybody. Let's pray together. Lord, yet again, I'm daring to ask that my mere human words will become your words and our hearts and minds are open to you. Amen. It's funny how over the years you remember back to taking services. And I sat with Christine last week when I was trying to sort out my words for this morning. And she said, when did you last use that reading from John's Gospel? Up I went to the study, found all my diaries going back for 50 years. And I realised I was in the Caribbean on the island of Anguilla, talking to a wonderful black congregation. I used a different verse to this morning, I found, but never mind. So today I want to entitle our thoughts, So Many Senses. And for that I've taken the verse from John, chapter 12 and verse 8. Mary took a pound of costly perfume, made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. You will appreciate that I have no input whatsoever for what comes up on our lectionary Sunday by Sunday. But it seems to me in so many different ways that this chapter of John's Gospel could well have been the reading for last Sunday, which was Mothering Sunday. There are so many men mentioned in the Gospels, especially in the New Testament, so I personally appreciate the chance to share something about the ladies involved at various points of the life and the ministry of our Jesus. Those two sisters, Mary and Martha, can only be found in two of the Gospels. Firstly, in Luke chapter 10, where we read that Jesus visited their home and Mary sat and listened to him while Martha was busy preparing the food. If you think about our story in chapter 12 of John today, it actually started in chapter 11, where, if you recall, Jesus had raised Lazarus, their brother. Thus it continues into today's reading, where we find Mary anointing the feet of Jesus with that very expensive perfume. How personal to actually wipe his feet with her hair. If you think about your biblical studies for a while, I hope that you will maybe come to the same thought as me. Why, you may be thinking? Well, if you reflect on it for a moment, I think you will all realise that it's somewhat unusual to find older women who were not married. I was only in the CID in the police for a very short time, but it makes me wonder why. Think it through for a moment. I just wonder if a man had gifted her that expensive perfume as some sort of pledge that he would marry her, and for some reason it had not come to be. Yes, I know I am speculating, but think about it for a moment with me. If my thoughts actually turn out to be true, it would surely make her act one of wonderful self-sacrifice. Just think for a moment with me the attitude about Judas, the man who would betray Jesus, when he complained about her wasting, in his opinion, the valuable perfume on Jesus. To me at least, Her actions I find doubly moving. My thoughts at this point are surely, we must all see her wonderful actions. She must speak louder than words. I guess that you and I don't think much about the five senses until we maybe get old and decrepit like me, and some do not work as well as they did. That aside, I really hope that most of us appreciate the sense of smell is probably the most evocative, and we can surely appreciate that as the house was filled with that wonderful perfume, St. Mary's life was filled with love. Love's an interesting thing, isn't it? I spent the day with some wonderful friends yesterday at an old vehicle rally, which you'll be surprised about, in Detling. I came away feeling joy that I'd been with two great friends, but also feeling quite decrepit because many of the vehicles I remember are now collector's pieces. Not only that, but there was a police car of the sort I used to drive there. I felt pretty ancient and wondered whether it was time to curl up and die. But those senses are so important to us. That perfume must have surely permeated every sense of her being. The tiny word love is personally very important to me, and I have to say that 1 Corinthians chapter 13 means a real great deal to me. The Salvation Army citadel that I grew up in during the war, the Second World War, I hasten to add, before you count on your fingers, had a big sign on the door as you left. Make sure you take the love you've found today and spread it. I hope I've done that in my life. But love's a wonderful thing, isn't it? I was in the Boys Brigade. Our band was a pipe band. They tried to teach me to play the pipes. They failed. They tried to teach me to drum. They failed. So they gave me the mace. And even to this day, it has a dent in it where I dropped it on the tram lines. But it was in those days when boys and girls were not allowed to join. The girls' brigade were one side of the church and the boys' brigade were the other. And I used to sit in the pew and watch a pair of legs the other side. I've been in love with those legs for about 70 years and been married to them for 64 years. And they are so special to me because they represent the most wonderful love that anyone can have, a love that I truly, truly don't deserve. She has been everything to me. When we've had to move, she's packed up and moved on. And that sense of love is so wonderful that it keeps me going. If you like, it's like the petrol that feeds my engine. But the other point that comes to me from that passage is Jesus saying that Mary had actually anointed him ready for burial. Now, perhaps, is the time to mention that just before Jesus was to enter Jerusalem, where, in all honesty, no one actually thought that he was going to die. But of course, with the benefit of hindsight, we actually know that Jesus did. How hard it is when you and I have actually set out to do something really special in God's house, and our motives are really misunderstood and critical comments are made. After a long life, my experience is that God sometimes allows us to work for him in what one might call secrecy, whilst at other times he makes sure that our works are known to a wider spectrum. Thinking around Mary again, it would be fair to say, I think, that she was probably well known as a prostitute. Yet now she was to be bought and to be known for far better reasons. The more I have reflected as I have prepared for today, the more it seems to me that God gives everyone a chance of redemption. Just think about that for a moment. I think you will all realise that otherwise, our very first sin would obviously take us well beyond what we might call the point of no return. To me, and I hope for all of us here today, I would want to say that Mary has had a great deal of forgiveness. So in her deep gratitude, she gave of her very best. And that's important to me as well. If you move on to verse 8, you will always have poor people with you, but you will always not have me. It's very important to me, and I hope for all of us. Why, you may be thinking? Well, Christine and I spent a great deal of our ministry in Whitechapel in the East End of London, where most of you are aware. But I feel that God started my journey a lot later. When I joined the police back in the 1950s, I was sent to the Elephant and Castle. London was deeply bombed and still suffering much after the Second World War, which I grew up in. There were a great number of damaged properties, and in many of them, the men and women of the street homeless community slept, having found it as some form of shelter. Wonderful work was done in that area by the Salvation Army to try and cope for the less able, but they just could not accommodate everyone, and that really saddened me, to say the very least. And moving on in life, that's left a scar on me, which I found hard to deal and hard to scare. Having read and reread that John passage a great number of times, I must admit that a great many thoughts come into my mind. If you think about it for a while, I hope you will want to share my thinking. To begin with, it seems to me that the raising of Lazarus was what one might call a renewal of the friendship with that little family. If you think about it further for a moment, you will realise, I hope, that the raising of Lazarus had made that little house probably the most famous place for many a mile. And yet, the more I reflect it, the more I am led to believe and would suggest that Jesus was really making what we call a declaration of intent. I would suggest probably his words are, "Here am I, arrest me." Sadly, we know with the benefit of history that his offer would really be taken up a few days later. There's another person in that reading who has obviously gone down in history. That is Judas. John's Gospel tells us that Judas was what we might call the treasurer of the team that Jesus had gathered together for ministry. Judas would have been responsible for the money and the distribution of it to the poor and for the housekeeping of the disciples. With the benefit of history and hindsight, we can actually say that we know that Jesus was a thief. So I think we can all hopefully see it was maybe by sheer greed and hypocrisy that he complained that the perfume used by Mary could have been sold to acquire more funds. I must say, I try again to put myself into the position of Mary at this point. There is no doubt in my mind that Mary's action was done out of love, real, deep love. But I would also hazard a guess that she really felt small and probably confused, and most certainly would have wanted somewhere else around her, as that house was filled with the perfume. Eyes were turned on her, tongues started wagging like mad. Now, something there, I think, I confirm in our own lives. Surely each of us is here this morning must surely be able to relate to that feeling. Me being me, I suppose, I like to dig into things and look deeper. I think the more I reflect on it, the more I find it intriguing. Jesus saying that Mary had anointed him ready for burial. We need, as I said earlier on, to remember that statement was made just before he was entered Jerusalem and the various events that were to lead to his crucifixion. I have no doubt in my mind at all that Jesus was in a minority of one about the crucifixion. In the heat of that area, dead bodies are very quickly covered in perfume before they are actually buried. Thus, we can see that Mary was doing a wonderful act for Jesus with no idea about what was going to happen. And think about it for a moment. Jesus saying, "Greater love can nobody show than this, to lay down their lives for your friends. And the Son of Man has come to give his life as a ransom for friends." When Christine and I were at Whitechapel, I used to go to the Royal Hospital at Chelsea and take a service with the pensioners. When I first went, it was an all-male establishment, and I was ragged about my life in the army, which was very short, I hasten to add. The last time I went, before we were moved to Dover, the women had just been admitted. I was not popular. They said to me, "You knew about all these women coming, why didn't you tell us?" I didn't know a thing. But they were hurting badly. I'd like to think that now they're enjoying the fact that they can share the experiences of the ladies as well as the men. And sharing experiences in life is surely important. And some of those experiences that Mary must have had, surely each of us in our own time can think about the time we wish the earth had opened and swallowed us up for something we said or didn't say or did and shouldn't have done. For greater love have nobody than to lay down your life for your friends. Think back to your biblical studies again. I think we will all agree that Jesus' life had been totally filled with love. It must be obvious to all of us, surely, that he literally sacrificed himself on the cross for you and I. Surely, as we prepare for Holy Week, it challenges us to look for signs of love. We must all be aware of the love of Jesus in each of our lives, which saw him sacrifice himself at the cross, not for all those people long ago, but you and I here today. A love that obviously filled his whole life. Nobody at that time, of course, knew about resurrection, and obviously could not understand it as you and I here do today, and could no way understand that Jesus lives and is still alive. The challenge, surely, for each of us as we look to Holy Week itself is to allow the love of God to occupy every pore of our being, but not let it stop there. Let it bubble out of our body and ask the question of ourselves, does life truly fill our lives? We need, I think, to recall that Bethany and Magdala were very small places. So many at that meal would actually have a good knowledge of Mary's history. Let us face it, she's now known for far better reasons. So if you and I need to learn, what comes to our mind, I wonder? Well, for me, it is redemption. We must never, never forget that Jesus, as our friend, gives each of us a chance of redemption. Boy, how I have feasted on that over the years. Why, you may be thinking? Well, look at it like this for a moment. Mary had been forgiven greatly, and in her gratitude, she gave of her best while she had the opportunity. So think of verse 8 for a moment, where Jesus said, you always have the poor, but you will with you, but you do not always have me. For me, those words of Jesus make me feel uncomfortable, because it surely tells us that while the world exists, there will be poverty. Always be poor people around us. Redemption is really important. Something we need to address. Let all of us realize that our very first sins could make us far beyond what one might call the point of no return. Yes, there are great needs in our world today, as there were in those Halishkan years. Think beyond Jesus. Think beyond Judas moaning about the perfume. Even the poor and those with problems, and actually listen to Jesus. Yes, at this point, surely, brothers and sisters, we really, really need to recall which Jesus saying, take your eyes off these things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and follow me. I believe that's the message I leave with you today. Amen.